University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you guys are doing great wherever you might be today. And we're pretty excited. It is a huge day if you are a fan of NASA and the space industry at large. And we are just a couple of hours away now from the launch of SpaceX, which is it's going to be a beautiful thing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the program. By the way, I want to say thank you to Sandy from Moorhead City. Didn't want to come on the air, but Sandy heard about dealing with the trying to get used to the pollen and living back in the deep south. And Sandy says, Todd, if you want to clear up your allergies, you got to use Arm & Hammer saline spray. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Is that like the baking soda people?
I've never used it, so I don't have any personal experience.
Grandmother Starnes always used to do the apple brandy, but she was a Methodist, so I'm not sure if it worked or not, but she always felt good. So, Sandy, thank you for that. Arm & Hammer saline spray. So if you guys have any other suggestions, give us a holler on the line, 844. I think I just got in trouble with my family. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. All right. Yesterday, I saw a story. It dropped late in our show, and I knew immediately that we had to have Congressman Doug Collins on the program. Senator Kelly Loeffler is fighting dirty, folks, and she put out some sort of a statement. She's basically comparing Congressman Doug Collins and accusing him of being in the same, being in bed with folks like Nancy Pelosi and Stacey Abrams. And all I could think of at the time was, what in the name of all that is good at the Chick-fil-A is that lady smoking? I cannot believe anybody would try to compare Doug Collins, a rock-solid conservative, to somebody like Nancy Pelosi. So Congressman Collins is on the Newsmaker line to defend his good name. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
It's always good, Todd. And today is a great day. It's easy to defend against lies, but also it's a great day for a kid who grew up in the late 60s and was part of the space era. This is a good day.
Man, this is exciting. I've been on the Twitter feed, and, you know, they're getting suited up in the new state-of-the-art, spacesuits, the whole nine yards. I mean, you're right. This is one of those inspirational moments for young people all over America.
It is. And you think back, you know, Todd, to what we're in, and I would love to talk about this generation in a minute, because that's just crazy. But I will say this about the space. Space is about, you know, dreaming. And it's about, I remember as a kid, I lived roughly in the same area where I grew up, and I remember going up, and there was a driving range behind the state patrol station. And I remember when the spaceships would go up, I'd go up and just stare up in this space. And it's about dreaming. It's about God giving you a vision bigger than yourself that He is in charge of. And, you know, and we've got so much out of the original space program. We got more than Tang. I mean, we got the internet. We got everything else in the world.
Velcro.
So it's just a cool day today.
It really is. It really is. Well, Congressman, I do want you to weigh in and give you a chance to respond to these really scurrilous. I mean, it's really laughable if this is all she's got.
Well, it is all she's got because she's an appointed senator who has no political background except donating to, you know, campaigns of Democrats and Republicans. And that's what she did. And that's great. I'm not defending that. But when you go to lying about someone else, that's when it's a problem. And look, she's trying to. If there's anybody in the last year and a half that would ever associate me with Nancy Pelosi or Stacey Abrams or any of these folks, you know, they've just been dropped in from another planet. But this is what desperate people do when they're desperately down. And, you know, so when we look at this going forward, what's also very disturbing is she's also revealed her hand. If she's trying to say that I did all of these things because of a budget vote or something like that in which, you know, we've been radically out front of, then she's also telling me, and she's telling the people of Georgia, I will vote against the budgets, and I'll vote against the spending for our ports in Savannah. I'll vote against the Fort Gordon and Fort Stewart and Fort Benning. I'll vote against those, and I'll be a senator who does nothing. I'll be a senator who votes no and doesn't find solutions. And I think that's what's really disturbing here. But the attacks are just normal from somebody who is very down in the polls, who his biggest accomplishment in the last 24 hours was not being investigated and indicted by the FBI. And I think that sort of rings hollow, reminds me of another person who was excited about an investigation being dropped, and that was Hillary Clinton.
Oh, well, that's a very fair point. I have to tell you, one of the funniest things I saw, you know, the vice president was in town a couple of days ago in Marietta, and we got to tell the entire country what the big chicken was. There was the vice president coming down the stairs. There was the senator. And who was there to greet him to the great state of Georgia? Congressman Doug Collins. That was brilliant.
Exactly right. You know, and they've always been that way. It's been great. And I had a great time to spend with the vice president the other day. We talked about it and actually got to spend some time seeing some supporters. And they respond. They know who can represent Georgia. Those supporters know who can represent values. They know who can actually deal with legislation and make a difference. And that's what this campaign is about. It's not about money. You can throw money all you want at everything, but at the end of the day, it's about people voting and people having confidence in the person that has asked them for their vote and trust. And we're earning that trust every day, and we're going to continue to earn that trust and be a part of the Senate that actually starts moving the Senate and in our country in a way that actually fights for people and not just the status quo.
Look, I mean, it's everybody knows your street cred, and you're out there every single day fighting for the people of Georgia and really fighting for the people of America. You put it all out there on the line for this president, and I think the president, in his heart of heart, he knows that as well. But I got to tell you, you know, when you look at the Senate race in Georgia, I mean, we're seeing something very similar style of fight between Rhino and conservative play out here in Tennessee. And, you know, they're facing the same situation in Alabama. So this is it's a really very bizarre time for the Republicans these days.
It is, but that's when it's like an old saying from, you know, whether it's pastoring, whether it's been in business, law, being in politics. When you're ever in doubt, you go back to your compass, your true north. And I have a true north. I know what my conservative values are. I have a years of being a part of solutions. And one of the most disingenuous things coming from the center leftward campaign was that I was a do nothing congressman. I challenge anybody in the country to go find more. I'm looking at the legislation we passed from the First Step Act, which the president has taken on his criminal justice form, to IP, intellectual property. You know, again, I think it just goes back to folks. Folks see through new. They see through disingenuous, and they're going to see through this. And look, we're going to fight hard. I've been in campaigns and for a while, and it's about connecting with people. And when we do that, we're going to win. And we're looking forward to it. And, you know, look, I think these attacks can go on, but they're really made by, you know, basically small-minded people and small-minded consultants who believe that they can just throw stuff out and people will believe it if they put enough money behind it. And people are smart enough to know who Doug Collins is.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, real quick, we know you're back in the nation's capital. Big vote today. What's going on?
Well, at this point in time, the Democrats have now brought everybody back to D.C. They're, you know, Nancy Pelosi and her little fiefdom, because she wants to keep it all to herself, brought us back up to supposedly to vote on a FISA bill, which we had problems with, the president had problems with. We were trying to get to a solution, and now they don't have the vote, so they're going to just throw up a bill that has nothing, that will not pass. It's not going to, you know, and if it is, it's not going to get signed. And so really what you've done is the speaker has wasted everybody's time again. It is time that the speaker and the American public see through the charade that is going on here. And the speaker needs to call us back into session on a regular schedule. Let's get up here and have hearings. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing. And she cannot simply run it from her office. That's the problem we've got here today. So look, what we thought was going to happen is not going to happen, but it's not a surprise. The Democrats have no plan. And I know nobody's really shocked by that.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. By the way, if you want us to, and again, it's all on the down low, but we can like spread some rumors about the senator. Maybe she drinks unsweet tea, or, you know, she called to get reservations at Waffle House. You know, we can do that.
Well, yeah, look, I think, you know, here's what we're going to do. She can spread. You know, I'll stop telling the truth about her when she stops telling lies about me. And, because we're going to bring it out and we're going to go forward, and I'll debate her anywhere, anytime we want to talk about it. We'll talk about issues because the people know where I am and they know who I am, and we're going to prove that.
Well said. All right, Congressman, as always, appreciate it.
Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, Congressman Doug Collins from the great state of Georgia. And can you believe it? Look, if you had any doubts about – the sitting senator from Georgia not being a rhino. Well, that cleared it up. To try and compare Doug Collins to Stacey Abrams, or to say that, you know, that he's in Nancy Pelosi's camp, come on. But I'm telling you, folks, and the president has endorsed Kelly Loeffler here in Tennessee, where we broadcast our radio program. There's a fierce Republican primary underway, and the president has endorsed the guy who is a de facto rhino in that race. And then what's happening in Alabama right now is just a colossal mess. So this is going to be very interesting to watch as all of this plays out over the next couple of months or so. Look, got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. And apparently a lot of you have been offering allergy tips to help your friendly neighborhood host. And we will certainly take all of those. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Need a general practitioner anymore. I can just share my medical issues with you, the fine people of this audience, and you come up with some great ideas. So for those of you just joining us, we were having a little bit of fun because I have had a hard time getting used to the pollen back in the deep south. We just don't have that. Never really had that issue up in New York City. And so my voice has been a little scraggly over the past couple of weeks. So Debbie writes in. Debbie runs the website goatslive.com. Have you guys been on that website, Caleb and Avery? It is so relaxing.
I have not been on that website.
It's mesmerizing.
It's very good.
So Debbie runs an incredible website. I mean, thousands of people watch the live stream she has of her two goats. And right now the goats are just one of them just hopped off the platform. But another one is just hanging out under a tree in the backyard.
Do you think they know they're being watched?
They probably have some idea.
Or they probably don't care, because I mean, I don't know a whole lot about goats, but goats don't care about a whole lot of things.
It's a fair point. It is a fair point. But they are goats. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, they're sitting around when the cameras aren't off and they're like, hey, Larry, you ever get the feeling somebody's watching? You know, so, and Larry's like, meh, I don't know. So anyway, Debbie from goatslive.com says, here is my allergy tip. A tablespoon of cinnamon, tablespoon of honey, and mix it on toast, and it helps with your allergies. Is that kind of like a Gen X version of avocado toast?
I don't know.
No.
Cinnamon, honey, that's like cinnamon toast, I guess.
It sounds really good, though.
I'm just glad it wasn't goat milk.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm not doing the goat. I don't even like the goat cheese. Not good at all. All right, let's go to Brandel. She's out on the farm in Missouri. Our farm correspondent, Brandel.
Hi, Todd.
What's going on out there?
Not too much. I'm driving in my car, so I hope you can hear me. The allergy tip I wanted to give you, I make my kiddos take it all the time, is apple cider vinegar. Now, it's got to be with the mother, which I don't really even know what the mother is, but it's a dirty-looking vinegar. And then honey.
Wait, it's a dirty vinegar? You want me to drink a dirty vinegar, Brandel?
Well, it's kind of, yeah, once you shake up the bottle, it's kind of funky, but it's got the good stuff in it. And then you got to mix it with honey.
Huh. All right. So you got to work on the marketing strategy here, Brandel. But it's a dirty mother, but it does the trick.
Well, you said your grandma drank the apple whiskey, so I think this is pretty similar.
Well, yeah, apple brandy, but whiskey will do the trick, I guess, if you're Episcopalian. What was the old joke, Brandel? There's wherever two or more Episcopalians are gathered, there's a fifth. So it's that's my only Episcopalian joke I know.
Yeah, well, I don't know any Episcopalians. So I don't have any.
Now, let me ask you this, Brandel. Do you guys have goats on your farm?
We don't. My father just has beef. cattle that we raised for a good old steak. So that's all we have here.
Oh, well, that's so. By the way, Avery, call screener Avery just wants to chime in here. So, Avery, you've had the apple cider vinegar?
I have taken it several times before. Yes.
And what was the outcome?
It's not my favorite thing in the world, but I can stomach it for the most
part. Well, that's why you got to put honey. Yeah, you got to put the honey in it.
Yeah, my family usually mixes it with like orange juice or something like that to make it taste a little bit more bearable, and so that also works.
Or vanilla.
Hey, the second thing I wanted to say, Todd, I just feel like I know you. We're just meant to be friends. So you were talking about the Stuckey's yesterday, the good old pecan log rolls. Well,
Yeah, the guy thought I was crazy. They didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, there's only, I think, two or three here in Missouri, but we live right down the road from a Stuckey's. That's where all these farm kiddos went as teenagers and worked. That's actually where my parents met, and here I am.
Is that right? So you're a Stuckey's baby. Is that what you're telling us?
I guess. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Look at that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, the crazy thing. So the Stuckey's, it was built in the 60s. It burnt down last November. So we were all so sad because out in the country, we don't have nowhere to go but the Stuckey's. But they are rebuilding it, and they are keeping the Stuckey's brand.
Right?
So we are pretty excited. So I wanted to say, when this Stuckey's gets built, which should be in probably the next month or two, I will get you some pecan log rolls because those things are good. I like me a good pecan log roll on a regular basis.
You got, and the spoons. My mom used to collect the spoons whenever we'd go to a Stuckey's. You know, you got the, if you're like in Tennessee or Mississippi,
right,
they would have a Tennessee spoon and a Mississippi spoon. She loved those spoons back in the day.
Yeah.
But you're right, it was a good pecan log roll. All right. Well, I got to try the Dirty Mother vinegar. So, Brandel, thank you. Good hearing from you. Give us a call back soon. So, there you go. Do we have time? Let's go to John in Ohio. John, what's going on? I'm not sure where we're going here, man.
Well, I don't know. Turn right and we'll find out, okay, brother? Anyhow,
I love it.
I got a question for you. just a real serious question. And, I've been asking my politicos and they won't answer it. Okay, we realize that a lot of these governors have basically stepped on the Constitution of the United States, ran through a shredder, and their state constitutions, and ran them through a shredder. And the president is encouraging them to open their states and, specifically go open the churches and other businesses, and yet these governors are saying, make me. Now, is there anything, I mean, Abraham Lincoln had to do it. He had to actually send in federal troops to try to stop secession to preserve the Union. But aren't these governors technically in a state of defying the federal government? And I know Attorney General Barr has sent them letters of interest saying, look, you can't do this. We're going to come in and make you stop.
Sure.
But the president has been encouraging them. But the point is, cannot the president order the Attorney General to say these guys are in rebellion? They are not listening to what we are saying, such as Michigan, California, New York.
Yeah. And John, we've got to run here, John. So, but I will answer your question. Can the president arrest the governors? I'll answer that question after the break. Sorry about that. Facebook live stream right now, there's a running battle and conversation between Doug Collins and Senator Kelly Loeffler and what you should do for your allergies. So John says, or Bill says, no idea where you are going with this, but raw honey. And then John says, I heard local honey is good for your immune system. And Claudia says that the Arm & Hammer saline spray works very well, and she says it's very comfortable to use. Now, call screener Avery, who now is apparently a medical assistant, I understand you've got some information.
Yes, I also received a caller who wanted to tell me to tell you that you can actually take a teaspoon. I believe it was either a teaspoon or a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and that actually lowers cholesterol.
May have to take two of two tablespoons of that.
Now, Avery gave me some hot sauce a while back, Todd. I bet you a drop or two of that. I've actually tried it, and I can guarantee you a drop or two of that will open your sinuses right up, among other things.
It'll clean you out. You know, poor Jeremiah Poff, who's one of the top young writers in Washington, D.C., is wondering at this very moment, what in the world is going on here? Jeremiah, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Glad to do it, Jeremiah. We're talking about allergies, Jeremiah. So.
I think I picked up on that.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah Poff writes for Campus Reform, and back in the day,
The College Fix.
Why did I always do that? So he writes for the College Fix. No offense to you folks at the campus. Why didn't Campus Reform hire you? They should have. You know, you're a hot commodity there in D.C.
I don't know.
You don't have to comment on that. But more importantly than all of that, you used to write for us over at ToddStearns.com before you got highfalutin. Jeremiah, how you been?
I've been good. Good. You know, weathering the storm, as it were. Doing my best
Well, it's crazy, I guess, with the virus and all that whatnot. I can't imagine. And you're in the D.C. area. Is that correct?
A little farther out, but yeah, I mean, I'm within an hour of the city. I'm farther enough out that we actually can get haircuts now, but.
Oh, this is nice. So it was tragic. I'm not sure what your follicle situation was there, but I was kind of going with the mullet, and it was not a good look for me, Jeremiah.
Well, I hear that was kind of in style because of the Tiger King show.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jeremiah. Appreciate that. Hey, look, we've got you on the program today. You sent me a story yesterday, and it's a pretty fascinating story about a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And of course, being a Southern Baptist, I was rather intrigued. This is a big controversy. What's going on there at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary?
Well, so. Last month, the seminary laid off 9 professors permanently, and they were all full time professors. And part of what had to happen when they were offered severance packages, but the severance package, which would have given them, I think, 3 months worth of salary and benefits, also came with a caveat that they needed to sign a non-disclosure agreement regarding what had been happening at. Or regarding whatever that had been taking place at the seminary. And 2 of the professors refused to sign that non-disclosure agreement, including one particular one who's been very, very outspoken about the direction that the institution's been going. And he's been critical. He wrote a letter to the president back 2 years ago and was critical of the promotion of the current provost who entered that position a year ago. And he's been reprimanded. And essentially he says that the layoff of him, he'd been teaching there for 22 years, was they used the coronavirus as an excuse to get rid of him.
And you know, this is really fascinating, Jeremiah, because I mean, this is a Christian institution. It's a seminary. And why in the world would they require professors to sign non-disclosure agreements? That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, and that's something that he pointed out. He said, you know, if you're a Christian and you have something and you see something that's going wrong, don't you have a duty to call it out? And if the seminary is forcing them to sign these non-disclosure agreements, like what are they trying to hide? And that was what he kept going back to that when I spoke to him over the phone. You know, last week, he's refusing to sign it. He's giving up $40,000 or $20,000 or so worth of benefits. So it's costing him. But he's doing it out of principle.
Is there, based on my reading of your story, and I've just I've known there was something brewing over there at the seminary. But are there concerns that the seminary may be lurching to the left again? Is that what's going on here?
So he did, he Professor Fuller did say that. He said that it's not just the seminary, it's in the entire Southern Baptist Convention. And you know, throwing my own personal opinion into this, I do believe that this is a general trend across all faith, you know, communities. The major bodies, they're kind of lurching and slowly to the left. But what he pointed out was that there were four professors, that he specifically named, one of them being the provost, and that there were three things that they were teaching that he was taking particular issue with. One was the promotion of critical race theory, the second, postmodernism, and the third was one professor who had a very mythological interpretation of the Book of Job. And he laid out why, in a letter in 2 years ago, he laid out to the president what was wrong with all of those things in a biblical sense. And then the dean of the School of Theology reprimanded him for it, for sending that letter.
Good grief. It's a strange story, and I know there are a lot of people were sharing your piece you wrote at The College Fix, thecollegefix.com, ladies and gentlemen. The headline in Jeremiah's story, conservative professor says Baptist seminary used COVID as an excuse to get rid of him. Jeremiah, are other people speaking out? Are you anticipating maybe more stories on what's happening at Southern?
I hope that if this is, you know, that there's enough people there that have a, you know, that are willing to speak out, you know, that they will see this as kind of a, you know, this may be an attempt to scare them, but if they have the courage, they should be coming to speak out too, because the more people that speak out about this is the only way that a change could be made.
All right. Amazing story there. Folks, got to check this out at The College Fix. Jeremiah, good hearing from you. Great story.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All right. Jeremiah Poff, ladies and gentlemen, one of the great writers over at The College Fix. And it's a troubling thing. I've heard a lot of rumblings about the Southern Baptist Convention, of which I am a part. And there are a good many people out there who suggest that the Southern Baptist Convention is going to the left, getting a little bit wobbly. But I believe, by and large, the average Southern Baptist in the pew is a rock-solid, Bible-believing conservative. That being said, heaven help America if the Southern Baptist Convention ever goes to the left. All right, got to take a break. We're going to get to your calls, 844-747-8868. It's our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Also, check out our website, toddstarns.com. And during the break, we're going to post a link to the Stuckey's website. I've got a few things to say about Stuckey's coming up next. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Writes in on the Facebook Live page. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, by the way. Dave writes in at Todd Starnes FNC on Facebook. Todd, I've got the solution for allergies. Dave is a U.S. Army veteran. He says, Todd, tear gas will clear your head right up. So, do we have a canister of tear gas around the radio station, guys?
Sure, we can find one somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe in the prize closet somewhere.
Sandy's got a lot of stuff in that office. Wouldn't surprise me.
Sandy Griffin, one of the best radio engineers in the industry. So, oh, by the way, we have a fact checker for the show. Earlier in the program, I accused the head of site integrity for Twitter of calling Mitch McConnell a turd. In fact, that is incorrect, ladies and gentlemen. He actually called Mitch McConnell a bag of farts.
Oh, yes. That was a much better insult.
Always important to get the facts right here. So whenever we have an error, we correct it immediately on air. So there you go. Yoel Roth is the guy's name. He is he's a far, far lefty, this one. And he said that the people in the White House are actual Nazis. That's... Good for you, Yoel. He's the guy that decides which conservatives get shadow banned on Twitter. So, guys, we've been talking about Stuckey's, and you know it's still a thing. You know, back in the day, it was a big deal. It was sort of like the Waffle House of its time, but only a classier version of Waffle House.
See,
I'm looking at the website now, and I'm going through some of the stuff for sale, and some of the pictures of the inside of the stores almost resembles more of a Cracker Barrel than a Waffle House.
Yeah, you know what? That is a fair. That is fair. That's a fair comparison.
Like a store and a restaurant combined.
But apparently, there are still a lot of Stuckey's around. A little over 70. And guys, if you scroll down, have you seen the owner, the current owner, fourth generation? It's a family owned business. That's why I love Stuckey's, and because it's family owned. Take a look at Ethel Stuckey. You see that on the front page there, guys?
I'm trying to find it. You said it's toward the bottom of the page?
No, just scroll on the very front page. Scroll down. After the, you'll see photo number one, photo number two, and then there's Ethel Stuckey.
Oh, wow. Look at her. That's awesome.
Yes, indeedy. Praise the Lord. So, so Stuckey's was back in the day, and they talked back when you're, I mean, this is before the interstate system was developed. I mean, you only had the two-lane blacktops, and you're driving around listening to AM radio, and you're eating your hamburgers and your pecan candy, or pecan candy. But their favorite thing was the pecan log roll, and they came in, they were huge, just huge, Caleb.
Looks like they have a peanut version of that as well.
Yeah, I would like to try that one. I'm not a big fan of pecans, but I would like to try the peanut one.
Indeed. It looks great. So we're going to post a link to the Stuckey's. So if you've never heard, if they were primarily in, I think, from Pennsylvania down. So, and there were not many, I think around 100 or so at the zenith. There are only about 70 or so left nowadays. But if you're out on the West Coast, there were no Stuckey's out on the West Coast. By the way, I need to answer John's question. John from Ohio, and we had to cut him short there. We were going to a break. John was wondering why President Trump doesn't go ahead and just have the governors arrested for infringing on the civil rights of citizens in their states, primarily the blue state governors. Well, there's a lot of debate about whether or not the president has the authority to direct the governors to do anything. And if in fact that is the case, it would be an issue of the Justice Department stepping in and launching federal investigations. But I do remember there was a TV show, I believe this was on ABC News, called Designated Survivor. And the premise was the president was delivering a State of the Union address, and everybody, there was like a terrorist attack. And of course, in Hollywood, there are no such thing as Muslim terrorists. So the only terrorists are white guys. So the premise is, you know, a bunch of white guys blew up the Capitol building, killed everybody. And so the designated survivor was like some, you know, obscure secretary or whoever it was. And so anyway, there was a rogue governor who was rounding up Muslims after the attack. And so they actually, the president and designated survivor actually had the governor arrested in the TV show. So I'm not sure in real life how that would play out, but I don't believe we're going to watch this president arrest governors. Honestly, I hate to say this, and I don't mean to end the show on a downer. I'm not sure we're going to see the attorney general busting heads at the end of the day. I don't know. I hope I am mistaken, but William Barr is sort of hedging a little bit. Says, you know, well, we don't think Obama did anything wrong. We don't think Biden did anything wrong. I think they did something wrong based on everything I've read. But we'll see. We have time. Let's let this thing play out. So look, tomorrow on the show, I want to talk about what's happening in Minneapolis. I told you I was going to get to it today, and we sort of let time get away from us here. But I've got a lot to say about this. We need to frame the conversation nationally because of what's going on, not just in Minneapolis, but the story down in Brunswick, Georgia. There is another incident that you probably didn't hear about involving two individuals who were gunned down, assassinated, killed at a cemetery. And that story got zero play. And honestly, folks, based on the video evidence we have seen coming out of Minneapolis, there was a crime committed there. We cannot go out there and blame every police officer in America for a couple of bad actors. Can't do it. But they're going to. And they're going to say this is a race issue. And I'm not so sure about that yet, because we don't know. We don't know. Were those police officers, when they started their shift, was their mindset to go out there and find a black person and kill a black person? Was that the motive here? Or was this some sort of an incident that occurred? The guy was accused of forgery. They said he resisted arrest, but the video shows he did not. Was this a case of tempers flaring and people letting their emotions get the best of them? We don't know the answer to that question. And anybody who says they do, they're lying to you, because we just don't know. But if these individuals are going to, if these police officers that are involved in this crime, because the way it's being framed is white cop puts knee on black man's throat. And that is true. But the issue here is, was this a racial issue? I mean, Ice Cube is out there ready to raise up an army. And my question is, why? What for what? Are we talking about, what are we talking about here? So we're going to have a conversation about race tomorrow. And it's going to be a crazy conversation, but I think it's a conversation we need to have, and I'm not afraid to step into this conversation. But the issue for me is, these police officers need to be punished. But we also have to remember that not every police officer, I would be willing to say 99.9% of police officers in this country, are good and decent and honorable men and women. And every day they get up, they put on that uniform, they put on that badge, and they go out there and they put their lives on the line to protect you, the white American, black American, Latino American, Asian American. They protect all of us. But there are some bad actors out there. And we got to call it out. And we're going to do that tomorrow. You're going to want to stick around. In the meantime, be sure to check out ToddStarnes.com. All sorts of great stuff there. Check out Avery's live show blog. He's got links to all the great stories. Plus, you can find out if you have a Stuckey's in your neighborhood. Been a great show, everybody. Get out there. Have a great one. I'm Todd Starnes.